Hey, we're back. Part two. So let's do a quick little recap. Part one, we talked a lot about just pressure, really, and the pressures of feeling the need to have a steady job and make money and have everything all figured out at a young age, the pressure of comparing yourself to others on social media, and basically Daniel realizing, as much as he loved Dutch Bros, he didn't really want a franchise but didn't know another path. So dove into running the social channels for Roseburg, found his passion of filmmaking, and here he is today. So part two, I think we're going to just dive into a little bit more of what he's doing currently, as well as the power of writing your goals. Great stuff. I'll get out of the way now. Part two, Daniel Jeremiah Podcast.
I heard a mentor of mine tell me, when you're going down a path of a profession or doing a new thing, a new craft, it starts off with undeserved optimism, meaning, rewind the clock for me, like when I made pumpkin pie shake and I'm like, I'm God's gift to video. Like, you know, like it wasn't deserved, but I was too ignorant at the time to understand like that there was so many tiers and levels to get better, but I was optimistic. I was like, dude, I've got a real future here. There's so much here, but it was like undeserved. But it didn't matter because I was just optimistic, right? That's the first stage. Second stage is, now you're educated in that space, but now you're a pessimist about it. So now you know so much about it. You know how good others are, and you've gotten to a place where you're like, oh. So now this sets in where you're like, okay, I realize now that I'm actually nothing.
Yeah, the emphasis is all on the shortcomings.
And it's like now there's this pessimism, right? If you can break through that to the last phase in this cycle of creativity or the cycle of a craft, it's where you get informed optimism. And informed optimism means you know good and well someone's better than you. You know good and well someone's worse than you. And that's when you can step into a stage where you go, so here's where I am. I'm going to look for mentors. I'm going to look for people who are doing it better than I am. I'm going to work with people who are doing it like I am. And I'm going to look for people who are trying to come up like I did. And I'm going to help them. And I think if you can figure out how to build that circle, that's where you're going to find true growth. And I don't know about you guys, but if I absorb or listen or am taught things, that's great. The moment I try to teach someone else how to do it, I mean, when we would sit and talk about editing, Mark, you and I, like when I teach someone else how to do something, I learn more. Like I'm learning and it's like sinking in more as I talk about it. So just being able to complete the loop, and I guess knowing that no matter where you're at in any quest of anything, someone else is a couple steps behind you and you can find someone to help.
I used Daniel as a resource multiple times.
Yeah, love it though.
Just, you know, getting into Premiere Pro editing and stuff like that. It was very much like, Daniel, how do I do this?
Oh, it's Control I, Mark.
Yeah,
Control
I. What's the option for this? What's that? Oh, wait a minute. What's a keyframe? Holy. I owe a lot of gratitude to you and Phil and, you know, Evan and some of the people that have worked with me and been patient with me and teaching me stuff. And I still have a mountain to climb. It's been a fun life here working at DB Studio. And we miss the hell out of Daniel being here all the time. But, I mean, tell us about the decision to get back to filmmaking, because you were at a point where you had been promoted up to a pretty high level in the company. And from the outsider looking in, it's like, wow, working at HQ and marketing department, like heading that up, I mean, that's got to be the dream. But ultimately, you weren't getting fulfilled.
Yeah. The biggest thing is, because I think you're right, it is the dream. I think what I came to realize is it's someone else's dream. It's not mine. It wasn't because I didn't like the work or I didn't like the people. I loved the work and I loved the people and I loved the company. My problem was that I thought that I could still get that fulfillment from being a part of a creative process. But the reality is when you're leading an entire team of people, I'm a part of the inception phase of like, you know, it'd be cool. And then like never again until it's done. I mean, obviously like touch points, but like the execution of it, right? I'm finding for me that my passions live with telling those stories, making that content, and being the person
to execute
that's in there, like in there, part of the creation, really getting my hands like in it. That's the part that I guess I thrive on. And, you know, the decision to leave was really hard, not because, I mean, there was definitely fear about, you know, work and sustainability and all that. But the bigger issue was that Dutch Bros as a whole, my time here at HQ, all the guys here, I mean, you guys included, I had this circle of friends that were, I guess, like that iron sharpens iron thing. Like, you guys were the ones that would challenge me or like keep me sharp, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Personal life, work life, everything. Like Brant is a huge one who asks challenging questions and makes me think and like, you know, all that. My biggest fear leaving was that I was going to not have that. Because the reality is I was working so much here and working so much on my freelance work that anytime I wasn't working, I was just with my family. Yeah. So really, I didn't have any other friends except for you guys. Like you guys were my circle, but I also lived an hour away. So it wasn't like we were kicking it on the weekends. Like it was like, I saw you guys at work. That's where I was getting that from. And so when I left, I'm like, I got to figure out how to build that again or somehow have it on a regular basis, you know? And that was the biggest struggle to leave. I'm still trying to like, I find myself like reaching back out down here a lot because of that. Cause I'm just like, I'm just not fully getting that yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing too, is like, I don't know. And it's funny cause Trav said this when we talked, you know, on my last day too, but he was like, you know, he's like, dude, this isn't goodbye, man. I know it's just hello. We're going to be working together again. And it's like, I knew at the time that I needed to get out and like really spread my wings with my freelance work and go. What I've been finding over this last 6 to 8 months is that still to this like day, my favorite content that I make is for Dutch Bros. Yeah. Like it's my favorite thing. And so I'm like, you know, how can I bring value to Dutch Bros, still be the one who's just making the content and then make that where I can be around more often? And that's where I'm at right now, is I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. And I've got some ideas and some things I'll pitch. And it's all because I just miss the relationships here. And I miss being able to share and spread Dutch Bros message. I've made a lot of videos in the last 6 to 8 months, and I've worked with some really cool people.
Yeah.
And I've also worked with some people where I'm like, oh man, this was like kind of tough. And it boils down to the message and the story not being true or not being authentic. Yeah. And that's one thing I've always appreciated about Dutch Bros, is like, we're telling it like what's real. So, you know, man, I don't know, man, I there could be a future of me getting back more involved again and being around as long as you guys want me around for stuff.
Oh yeah. I don't know. What's the next few months looking like? What, you got some things lined up that you're really excited
about? Yeah, man. I got a lot of stuff. So the summer and leading into this fall have been nuts. Like super busy, a lot going on. But the cool thing is I've been able to book a lot of gigs at destinations that are like vacation spots.
Cool.
And I've been able to take the family with us. It's kind of funny. So at the end of October, going to be filming a real estate video in Hawaii.
Heck yeah.
And taking the family, but it's not your average real estate video. She wants the video entirely from the perspective of a dog. Which is whatever's gonna get me over to Hawaii, man. Yeah. Like, I'm okay, I'll do it. I said, I have this like mount that I can put on your dog and put a GoPro on there, and we can have the dog run around and I can do some other stuff, you know? And she was like, yes, yes. I'm like, okay, here we go. We're going to do it. I can't knock it, man. Maybe it's like a heavy dog community where they got that property. I don't know.
That dog's got a million in the bank.
It's like ready to put it down today. No, but yeah, man, we're going to go to Hawaii at the end of October.
Awesome.
And that's going to be cool. Just came off the heels of Vegas, which was really fun. I'm going back to Vegas later this month to film another music video for Marlon DeSoul, who's a violinist that I've done stuff for.
Yeah, guys, baller. Awesome.
That dude is getting bigger and bigger by the day. I met him on the street. He was performing on the street with like a sign next to him for money, and now he has a residency at the Cromwell in Vegas, and he's playing. He's really doing big stuff, and he came from Cuba, and he's only been here for under 2 years, and he's already really getting himself like in the system, which is cool.
Yeah.
So doing that. And then I'm working on this documentary series right now for a few guys in Roseburg. They're business owners who kind of are all in different walks of their business, but they're all killing it. They're all doing a really good job. They've got a mission, a bigger picture. They've got core values at heart. Yeah. And I've just been documenting that. That's been a big struggle, actually, because I'm finding that I'm more comfortable and better at fast micro content. You know, for Life is Beautiful, I was making an edit a day.
Yeah.
You know what was going on.
Yeah, the quick turnaround.
Which to a lot of people, they're like, that's so much work. To me, that's the easy stuff. Like that's to me, that's easy money. No
Crank
problem.
It out,
can
yeah.
knock it
yeah.
out. It's cool. It's this like 6 months of capturing footage for a 12 episode series. That is making my brain hurt.
Yeah.
It's not the editing that's hard. It's not, it's the scheduling.
Yeah.
It's so hard to like connect and get everybody together. So like I'm finding where I like to make content. So I'm excited for the winter because I'll be getting done. Right now, I'm just backlogged with edits like crazy. I got weddings to edit. I got a lot of stuff to edit.
Yeah.
But once I get through that, it'll be kind of, it's like, that's like the marketing season. So that's when I'm going to start pitching and coming up with new ideas and kind of planning out my 2019. So I'm excited for that time.
Awesome.
That's dope.
I know, too, like, Roseburg has been a huge part of your life, so tapping into that community, that was probably a big desire as well.
Born and raised there, so my whole life I've been there. I live there now, but I was doing, like, nothing for the community because I was always traveling. So one of the other big reasons that I decided to leave was because I have this desire to make enough money with video production that I can etch out enough time in the year to donate my time for causes and things that I believe in,
yeah,
or things that I feel like have stories that need to be told where they can't afford good video work. And so I've been able to do that this year, and that's been awesome. I've done it for the community, but I've also done it for a bunch of nonprofits, and being able to do content for things that I just know are going to help change the world, or at least help change my community and like help have influence, has been massive. And I love that I'm able to donate my time. I'll do it for free. That was something that I could never do before because it was like I was trying to make enough money working at Dutch Bros and freelance work, and there's no time left to do any of that. Giving back, I've never been someone who like will like volunteer at like a soup kitchen or like volunteer like my day to go pick up trash. Like that's so bad to say, just being totally honest. Sure. I always felt like that's not how I want to bring value.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'd rather be able to bring value with like the skills and tools I have to actually be able to maybe cause a bigger impact, you know?
Sure.
I made a video for a nonprofit. They were trying to raise $40,000 to renovate a building where they were trying to get a new office space. I made a video for them. They shared it, and they ended up raising like over $100,000.
Awesome.
And it was like they got more than enough money to do what they needed to do.
Yeah.
It's like stuff like that where I'm like, that to me is like, that's where I can bring value and that's where I can do so.
I mean, videos, that's how we communicate anymore, primarily.
Yeah.
I'm diminishing our very own podcast right now.
hey, man, podcasts are on the rise. My niece listens to podcasts now, so I use her as my barometer for like what is cool.
She's
and
like,
hip.
You ever heard of Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
You're going to start using some of your own music for these videos, for these edits?
You know,
royalty
what, man?
Free?
Yeah, right. I know, right? Pay myself in royalties.
Yeah.
When I started making videos, initially that was like my creative outlet. I was getting it out, and then it became what made me money. Mm-hmm. So I started taking pictures. And now I get paid to take pictures, which again, I'm not trying to complain about that. That's awesome that I can do something I love and make money. But I need a creative outlet that has no expectation.
Yeah.
I need a creative outlet where it's like, nobody cares what I do. You know what I mean? I just want it to be something that like I do, like, cause it makes me feel better. And that's what making beats are for me. Making beats are like, I get an idea out and it's like, all right. And then just having something to listen to that I've made, I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. And I just don't expect it to ever.
Yeah, no pressure attached.
Yeah, I want it to be something that's just, you know, fun. I same thing with like playing guitar and like stuff like that. I just do that just to get something out, you know?
Yeah. And I know obviously everybody's wired a little bit different, but for me personally, and I think most of us, it's like, I find that outlet, man. It's so healthy. It's so cathartic to do something artistic or creative, or even if it's just physical, just go run, you know, just let your mind free.
Right now, the biggest thing that people are talking about is like meditation. And I'm like,
no,
I want it. Right. I'm like, I want that so bad. And I think the problem is like, there's no one size fits all for refueling yourself. Mm-hmm. For some people, refueling yourself means getting out there.
Yeah.
And action and doing things that are just different than the norm. For some people, it is calm. Get quiet, turn your phone off, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
The reality is I think you have to find your thing. Because I know for me, it was like, I was sitting there trying to do some of these things. All I'm thinking about is like, when am I done? Like my brain just doesn't work that way. Like I can't. And so I'm like, I found it in doing something creative with no expectation. That's where my zen moments come. That's where my calm moments come. That's where my new ideas come. I get new ideas when I'm working on music for videos. Because I'm like, just getting stuff out of me, you know? But that's where how I kind of recharge.
Personally, I just don't have the patience to like to meditate or like yoga or like I'm just like I snap. I'm like I'm a psycho.
Finding my own lane is like kind of the theme that I go for whenever I'm talking to other people about their thing is like, dude, all the things I do might be completely wrong for you.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is what's happening for me and that you gotta find that sweet spot and find those things. I think the only thing I can say for everyone is you have to find a lane, pick one, stick it.
Yeah.
Until a new door opens. I'll give a pro tip for someone who's looking for a new outlet.
Mm.
One thing, if you find yourself interested in something, go on YouTube and start searching for whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
And if you watch the review videos or if you watch the videos of people talking about that thing and you're like, what am I watching? If you get like, if you're like, this seems like a hole I don't want to get into.
Right.
That's a good indicator. Maybe find a different lane. Because there's so many things like that where I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't like, I would just dive down a path. Mm-hmm. And that's how I ended up with 50 perler bead Super Mario necklaces, was because I saw a video one time that looked fun of a guy printing out an 8-bit image of Super Mario, used the perler beads, ironed them together, put a chain around it, and made it a giant medallion necklace. You know, fast forward a week later, and I'm wearing it in the stand, like, asking kids if they can buy it off my neck. They're like asking me, how much is that necklace? I'm like, what am I doing?
Couple grand.
I'm like, what is where am I right now? And so when you find those lanes, man, watch them on YouTube. And if you're like, I don't resonate with these people, I don't resonate with this group, I don't resonate with this thing, find a new lane. Because I did that with these shoes. I Googled the shoes and I heard a guy talking about them. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm not a sneakerhead. Maybe I just like cool shoes. Yeah. Sneakerhead's like a different level.
One thing I did want to ask when you were touching on getting this opportunity to go to Hawaii to film this crazy real estate video from the perspective of a dog. Has it been a struggle now that you're being contracted to sometimes have to just capture somebody else's vision and not have as much creative control? Or are you able to collaborate a lot of the times?
It's a really good question. And this is only going to probably resonate with other creators, but there's kind of this price barrier, this price point where I find that if anybody's under a certain price point, and it's just the nature of business. If they're only able to afford a certain amount, it's probably because their business isn't as big. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be far more controlling of what they want because they're spending their hard-earned money that they don't have to just throw around. So they want to be heavily involved. And then there's like this next tier of price point where they pay more because they have more. And they're more like, we just like what you do. You're the expert. Make it happen. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's really tough, I think, for creators starting is like, to make videos for people, you can't start out in that higher price point. Yeah. You have to start out making things for free, making things for cheap, just to get portfolio built, to like get your name out. I'm just blessed enough that I'm to the point now where I have enough of a name and enough of my content out there that people call me to hire me now and say, we just like what you do. Can you just come and do this? And they'll say things like, just think in like perspective of a dog, but like, you know, you'll make it cool. That's usually how I'm given like a theme, or I'm given like a big picture idea, and then
they're giving you that trust.
They trust me to execute it, right? And I'm also, it's one of those things too, where sometimes if I don't do enough work on the front end to make sure that we're aligned in what the project is, that's when it can get hairy, where it's like you turn an edit in, and they're like, oh, we kind of thought it was going to be this. Can we do this and that? Can we add this to that? And when you do that, that's when it starts to suck the life out of you a little bit.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that, you know, I never want to do re-edits. I do them all the time. Mm-hmm. It's different to do a re-edit when you're on the same page versus not. I think that the hard thing too is that when you're on the come up of trying to make content, you're like, anybody who's willing to throw dollars in my pocket for a video, I'm down. I'm doing it, right? What people have to do is you've got to also evaluate them. So when you meet them, you know, you want to sell yourself, you know, what you can offer, what you bring to the table, but you also have to be like, do I want to work with you? Yeah. And even though this dog real estate video thing sounds kind of absurd a little bit, part of me is like, can I make this cool?
Yeah,
like, can I
it's a cool challenge.
Can I make a video in Hawaii about real estate from the perspective of a dog that's cool? And I'm already churning. So I'm like, dude, the video is going to be all from like low angles, but it's going to show this happy family like welcoming the dog. They're going to come home and the dog's going to welcome them when they come home. The dog's going to jump in the pool and it's going to be really fun. And we're going to see his family having a great time from that dog's perspective. And it's going to ultimately show the happiness of the family.
Yeah.
And that's going to showcase the house. So I do take challenges sometimes, but if the people up front are like clearly going to be controlling, aren't going to trust vision, aren't going to, then for me, I'm like, again, that's not bad. There's creators who want that structure.
Sure.
There's creators who like are like, tell me shot by shot what you want and I'll give you that. And that's not what I thrive on. I thrive on like collaboration, creativity, and like let's bounce ideas off each other and do it. And you know what? If it's not cool, I can bathe in my own tears while I'm at the beach after we're done shooting.
Right. Like, in a Mai Tai.
I'm in Hawaii, bro. Who cares, man? It's all right. I'll make it work. Awesome. Yeah. So,
dude, so sick. I mean, we're just freaking proud of you, man. It's been great to know you and great to see you just doing this thing that you put so much heart and energy into and that you love, and it's fulfilling you, and it's also paying for a roof over your head, man.
Yeah,
and feeding your family.
I appreciate it, man. It's funny, man. I feel like I'm just at the very, very beginning still of like this journey, because it's like the one thing that's hard to still, you know, I'm having to put a lot of faith in is it's like technically starting in January of 2019, I'm like unemployed. Like right now, like there's no videos to be made until wedding season next year. Yeah. Mm. That's how this game works. Sure. So nobody's like, hey, would love to get a video to promote my business 9 months from now.
Right.
When they hit you up, they're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of forecasting and planning, but it's definitely different than just knowing when the paychecks come. Right.
We'll have some work for you in January.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I can almost guarantee that.
And the thing that I have to really hold on to is that, and it's what I talked about earlier, how I'm going to have some pitches for Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
Because what I have to remember is I need to step forward and ask, mm-hmm. I talked about before, for the things that I know I want to do versus what can pay me right now.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I go to pitch, it's like DB's my first stop. Love, love, love making videos for Dutch Bros and working with all the people here. So, of course, it's going to be my first stop. So it's going to be like, hey, here's some ideas I have. What can we do? Mm-hmm. Dutch Bros gets priority of like my time for 2019.
Yeah.
And then I can start going down the list of things that I know I want to do. You know what I mean? So
sure.
I have to remember that, because if not, when I left, I don't know if I told you guys this or not. When I left Dutch Bros, first week I was gone, I had an office downtown and a guy walks in and he's like, hey, got your name from somebody else in Roseburg. He's like, and I got a project you're going to want to be a part of. I was like, all right. Like, what do we got? Like, I'm really excited. Cool. Work's coming. Love it. 20 video project. I'm like, holy smokes, what do we got here? Yeah. I'm about to book a year of work. This is so great. And he's like, it's going to be 20, like 1 to 2 minute videos of me teaching people how to catch rats. Right now, if that walks through the door, I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in.
I'm a little booked up.
Have a good day, man. I'm a little busy. But because at the time, and this is a good thing to consider, is that at the time I had fear in my heart of where's the next job going to come from.
Yeah.
So I said yes.
Mm, yeah.
No.
I should add to the plate that not only are rats disgusting.
Right.
I have an irrational fear of rodents.
Terrified
of them.
I think I remember talking about this.
If a rat is in our home and we kill it, my wife has to take it out. Like, not playing. Like, it's the one. I'm going to, like, snuggle a snake before I get near a dead rat.
Wow.
One that can't even move.
Yeah.
And my first week out, I'm like, this was like fate, man. Because my first week out, I get asked to make a 20-episode series about rats. And I say yes to, like, my biggest fear. And he brought actual dead rats to the shoot. I'm like.
You're like, oh, God.
It was such a good lesson, like, right out the gate. It's like, dude, be patient. Mm-hmm. And like, go after what you want, ask for what you want.
Yeah.
Because, man, that was a brutal, brutal set of videos to edit.
Well, it's definitely good to step out of your comfort zone, but maybe in that case.
If you got a passion for rats and pest control, get on it.
Well, dude, we've taken up a lot of time. So we usually kind of like to wrap it up the same way. And I mean, you've given us stuff, but Shane, do our outro, brother.
So if you could give one piece of advice to our young barista audience, well, our audience, just in general, what would it be?
Yeah, you're right. We touched on a lot of stuff. Again, just going back to the most important thing, man, at the end of the day, sit down and write what you want. Mm-hmm. Write down your goals. It can be something as basic and simple as, I want to make X amount of dollars this year. One of the goals I set for 2018 was that I wanted to have a schedule that allowed me to take my son to school.
Cool.
Like, that's a goal, right? Yeah. Doesn't matter what it is. Can be small, can be huge. You can ask for the world in your goals, because they're for you. There's power in writing them down. Don't take out your phone and type them on your notes app. Mm. Don't think about them. Grab an actual pencil or an actual pen and paper and write it down. There's just power in it. I can't explain it. It's part of visualization. Write down a goal. Choose what you want. Even if you know it's going to change by the end of the year, sit down and write it down. Promise you'll see some value from it.
Just do it.
Awesome. Yeah, we pulled that video up, man.
Just do it, baby.
Oh, man.
Well, thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me, man. Great words of
wisdom. Dutch Nation, get out there, write your goals down. It'll surprise you what you can actually accomplish writing it down. There's power in it, like you said. And
just do it, baby.
Just do it, yeah. He's got it on his shoes right now, these fresh
just
shoes
do it.
That Off-white I wish y'all could see.
Air Max.
All right, take it easy, Dutch Nation.
Love you guys.
Later, guys. Woo!